NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Paddy Hirsch. The Inflation Reduction Act, now squirming its way through Congress, has a bit of something for everyone.
Well, almost everybody. So this bill is supposed to fight climate change, trim the federal deficit, cut drug prices for Medicare recipients, and it's meant to extend expanded health insurance subsidies under the Affordable Care Act.
Win, 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 win.
It's a lot of wins.
But somebody's going to have to pay for that.
Yeah.
And it turns out it could be large corporations. U.S. companies that average $1 billion a year in income could well be dinged by a new tax that's designed to get a grip on all of the tax avoidance we hear that goes on in corporate America.
So the idea is that this new so-called book tax or corporate alternative minimum tax or CAMPT for short, I don't know. It has a lot of names. And it will bring as much as $313 billion over 10 years.
Well, that was the original hope. They had to scale that number back to $222 billion. Why? Because politics got in the way.
It always does.
We'll explain it all after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Culturel. If you're living with digestive issues, Culturel Digestive Daily Probiotics are for everyday use and are designed to work naturally with your body all day. Save 20% on Culturel with code NPR at Culturel.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor American Express Business. With features and benefits like membership rewards points and flexible payments, Amex business cards are built for business. Don't do business without it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businesscards.
American companies come under a lot of fire for not paying as much in taxes as it sometimes seems like they should.
We're hearing claims that 60 of our country's biggest companies didn't pay a dime in federal income tax.
Shelling out a penny. And in some cases, they're getting refunds. How does that happen?
Thornton Matheson is a senior fellow at the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center.
Corporations are extremely resourceful at minimizing their tax burdens. I think most of it takes the form of avoidance rather than outright evasion. But part of the laws that they use to minimize their tax burden were deliberately enacted by policymakers.
One of the most famous examples of companies taking advantage of these laws might be Amazon. In 2018, the company reported $11 billion in revenue to its shareholders, but it paid no dollars in federal income taxes to the IRS. And this was all entirely legal. And understandably, people were mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could this be?
Well, it turns out that every year, U.S. companies actually produce two reports on their income. The first is their report that goes to shareholders. Let's call this financial income. The second is the report that goes to the IRS. And we'll call this tax income, because that's the profit that they can be taxed on. And guess what?
Tax income and financial income are calculated in very different ways.
So financial income, like the income for the shareholders, is calculated using rules that are agreed upon by an independent organization called the Financial Accounting Standards Board. These rules don't change much or very often.
The rules governing tax income for the IRS, on the other hand, are laws laid down by Congress, which means, of course, that they change all the time and radically. That's because the government, A, likes to use the tax code to encourage certain kinds of behavior, and B, is forever changing its mind about stuff.
That is true. And the reason companies have these two reports is because shareholders don't really care about what kind of tax breaks and credits the government is handing out, because that can change so much on a yearly basis. You know, it's hard to compare.
Yeah, what shareholders actually care about is how well the company is performing on a really basic level, like how much money it's making versus how much its business is costing to run without any government help, before tax breaks and credits are taken into account.
Tax breaks and credits can, and often do, allow companies to save huge amounts. They're often designed to promote certain kinds of business, like green technology or semiconductor manufacturing, as in the CHIPS Act that President Biden signed this week. Politicians and economists call them incentives. But there's another word for them.
How do you feel about the term loopholes?
You know, loopholes are laws. Loopholes are laws that were enacted by Congress. So, you know, they're just part of the tax code.
And enacted for a reason.
Most of them, yes. Sometimes the reason was lobbying, not so much the general public good.
Now, Thornton's laughing here, but a lot of people think that this is no laughing matter at all, including a lot of the public and several recent presidents.
We have so many loopholes
that it turns out you got a whole bunch of companies who are paying no taxes or barely paying taxes.
It's not right. We're going to reform corporate taxes so they pay their fair share and help pay for the public investments their businesses will benefit from as well.
Democratic politicians would like to remove many of these incentives and close many of these so-called loopholes. But that would mean changing the law in every case.
It's a lot of laws.
Yeah, Thornton says that's really, really hard to do.
You're coming up against a lot of entrenched interests. So I guess Congress just found it easier to layer on this alternative minimum tax rather than do kind of a root and branch cleaning of the corporate tax base.
The alternative minimum tax that she's referring to is the new 15% levy that's included in the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, right now, companies are just assessed a 21% tax on the profits that they report to the IRS. That's in their tax income report, which does include all of those tax breaks.
This new tax will be an additional assessment on the financial income that they report to shareholders, which does not include tax breaks. Now, the IRS will have two numbers to choose from, the 21% of tax income or 15% of financial income. And they'll just choose whichever number is larger.
The devils. And this is supposed to do an end run around many of the so-called loopholes in the tax code and potentially enable the government to capture a lot more in taxes from companies. Thornton says it even goes some way to offsetting what's called profit shifting, which is where companies register their profits overseas so that they don't have to pay taxes here.
It is a tax on global income. So it pools not only all foreign earnings, it pools, you know, domestic and foreign earnings. So it's possible that U.S. multinationals that don't pay very much could then face somewhat higher tax rates on their foreign earnings. And that could potentially be a disincentive to shift earnings offshore.
And this is great, right? You know, more money, hopefully fewer problems.
Yeah, that's the hope.
When it proposed this idea, the White House said it could net as much as $313 billion more in taxes from companies over 10 years.
What it didn't say is that it really could dilute the effectiveness of some of the incentives in the tax law already. So take the solar investment tax credit, which allows a company to deduct 26% of the cost of any solar investment from its taxes. That lowered the cost of buying solar panels and the like, and it encouraged businesses to buy more of them.
Of course, that deduction doesn't show up on a company's earnings report, which means that the new 15% tax on financial income could erode those savings. And the end result might be that companies won't want to buy solar panels anymore.
As you can imagine, companies pushed back very hard against this plan. They were particularly keen to retain credits related to what's called accelerated depreciation.
Explainer, please.
Okay, so thanks to President Trump, companies are allowed to tell the IRS that some of their stuff that they buy is worn out a lot earlier than it really is, like straight away. And that allows them to register a loss on their taxes. You know, it's quite different from the old way.
That's a really neat trick.
That's a major reason why some corporations are paying very little tax under the current system.
The idea around this, of course, is to reduce these companies' tax burdens so that they can reinvest the money that they're saving by buying more equipment or vehicles or whatever they need to grow their business.
And this is where politics comes in.
Politics.
You know, we mentioned politics in the first act and we're in the third act now, aka the power of lobbying.
Oh, the L word.
That's right. Businesses want to keep their tax breaks and they want to keep their credits. Because it turns out in the business world, accelerated depreciation is such a big break. Such a big deal to companies.
Maybe the biggest of all the breaks, actually.
Right, and that would explain why they convinced Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona to carve out an exception for it in the new tax.
Which means that this 15% alternative minimum tax on corporations is actually not what it seems to be. It is not a total end run around corporate tax loopholes because it includes one of the biggest of them all.
That's right.
Still, $22.2 billion a year for the next 10 years? That's not an insignificant amount of money. But let's not forget, it's nearly $100 billion less than the Democrats were counting on.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
It's coming.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Corey Bridges and senior producer Via Lay, with engineering from Josh Newell. It's fact-checked by Catherine Yang. The show is edited by Kate Kincannon and is a production of NPR.